In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This evening we're looking at Lesson 52, My Catholic Faith. The image shows a large image of Christ standing with His arms outstretched, and beneath Him is a big flock of sheep all facing our Lord. The caption reads, "The Catholic Church is one because it has one divine founder, God Himself, who cannot be divided. All its members hear and obey the voice of their shepherd. The Catholic Church is holy because it imitates its holy founder, the incarnate Son of God. Its members strive for holiness, aided by divine sacraments instituted by Christ Himself." So this is Lesson 52, The Catholic Church, Unity and Holiness. Why is the Catholic Church one? The Catholic Church is one because all its members, according to the will of Christ, profess the same doctrines, have the same sacrifice and sacraments, and are united under one and the same visible head, the Pope. They have unity in doctrine, worship, and government. They have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There has never been any other society, religion, or government whose members are so closely united. Quote, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." St. Mark chapter 3, verse 24. Another quote, "Holy Father, keep in Thy name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are." From St. John chapter 17, verse 11. There are about 340 million Catholics united in doctrine. This unity is evident and admitted by all. All Catholics everywhere believe each and every article of faith proclaimed by the Church. Wherever a Catholic goes throughout the world, he will find his home in the Catholic Church. There he will find his brethren in Christ, all believing as he does. If he deliberately denies even one article of faith of the Church, he ceases to belong to it. International Eucharistic Congresses held in different countries and different parts of the world every other year are a good proof of the unity of the Church. In such congresses, the faithful from all nations, African, American, Australian, Chinese, English, Filipino, French, German, Indian, Irish, Japanese, Russian, Spaniard, one and all bow down in adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist. All Catholics today hold the same faith that Catholics in the past held. The same gospel of peace that Jesus Christ preached in Judea, the same that St. Peter preached in Antioch and Rome, the same that St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and the Ephesians, the same that apostles of all nations have been preaching for the last 1900 years, is preached today and taught in the Catholic Church throughout the world from January to December. Quote, "Jesus Christ yesterday and today and the same forever." From Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Okay, so I would perhaps like to make a comment here. It says, all Catholics today hold the same faith that Catholics in the past held. There are many Protestants and there are many in the world who use the name Catholic, and they are not Catholic because they do not hold the same faith that Catholics have held in the past. Right? So if they preach another doctrine, St. Paul says, let them be anathema. This made very clear that those who deny even one article of the Church cease to belong to it. So it doesn't matter really what they call themselves. They are not Catholics, nor are they members of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is one in worship. All members make use of the same holy sacrifice of the Mass and receive the same sacraments. Although rites vary, the essentials of worship laid down by Christ form the foundation of all. Certain ceremonies have been appointed by the Church to show more clearly, in outward form, the spiritual significance of whatever act is being done, and to increase the devotion of those who are present or take part in the religious acts. The ritual varies in various places, certain ancient rituals from the early days of the Church being preserved. But in general, the Roman ritual, the one followed by the Diocese of Rome, is the one followed. The change of ritual does not change the substance of the religious act, which is preserved in its entirety. All Catholics are united in government. Everywhere the faithful obey their pastors, the pastors obey the bishops, and the bishops obey the Pope. The Catholic Church is truly one fold and one shepherd, its unity standing out unequaled in all history. Why is the Catholic Church holy? The Catholic Church is holy because it was founded by Jesus Christ, who is all holy, and because it teaches, according to the will of Christ, holy doctrines, and provides the means of leading a holy life, and thereby giving holy members to every age. St. Peter called the Christians of his time, quote, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. First Epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. The founder of the Catholic Church, Jesus Christ, is holy. The Church exhorts its children to imitate its divine founder. No founder of any other church is as holy as Jesus Christ, Son of God. And among the children of the Church, we may mention as examples of holiness the canonized saints. The Catholic Church teaches the highest and holiest doctrine ever presented to any people, a standard of perfection. The same precepts delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai, the same warnings uttered by the prophets in Judea, the same sublime lessons taught by our Lord, these the Church teaches from year to year. The Church teaches its children to know, love, and serve God, and thus to become saints. It urges on them the truth, quote, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but suffer the loss of his own soul? In St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. It exhorts them to imitate Christ. The Catholic Church provides powerful means for holiness in prayer and the sacraments. By the sacraments, a Catholic receives abundant graces. One who is faithful in the reception of the sacraments will never fail to live a righteous life and die a happy death. Every Catholic is obliged to say his morning and night prayers, and to resort to prayer in every necessity and temptation, as well as to prayer of thanksgiving. He is required under pain of sin to hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. The Catholic Church produces holy members in its saints and martyrs. In every age and country, the Church is the mother of saints, martyrs, confessors, and holy men and women who live in Christ. We do not, however, maintain that all Catholics are holy. Unfortunately, some do not live up to the teachings of the Church. That will be their condemnation. We must remember that even among the apostles there was one Judas. Our Lord himself taught in the parable of the wheat and the cockle that the good and the bad will grow up side by side in his church. The Catholic Church still has the gift of miracles. Christ promised his church the gift of miracles, a sign of holiness. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he also shall do, and greater than these he shall do. St. John chapter 14, verse 12. Each holy soul proposed for canonization must have worked two miracles before beatification and two more before canonization. We constantly read of miracles at Lourdes and many other shrines. The cures at Lourdes are declared genuine by a board of physicians, many of whom are non-Catholics. The Catholic Church carries on numerous works of holiness. It is the great mother of mercy and charity to the helpless. It instructs children in school, cares for the poor, the sick, the lepers, the deaf, blind, dumb, the old, the orphaned, and abandoned. It engages in all kinds of missionary and charitable activity. So that concludes my Catholic Faith Lesson 52. I don't really know what more to add or to say other than that what I've been saying before about the Vatican II Church departed from the Catholic Church. You might ask, well, we are sede vacantes. Do we still believe all this that is said about the Pope? And yes, we still believe that. We simply believe that this man in Rome is not a true Pope. And obviously, for the very reasons that have been established here, if they deny one doctrine of the Church, they cease to be members of the Church. They become heretics. If they teach a different faith than the one that has been revealed to us, they are anathema. They are cursed, they are lost, and what we see coming out of the modernist church, the Church of Vatican II, is basically a new doctrine and also a new worship. Here in my Catholic faith, we did see that there are many different rites. We have different rites within the church. Various rites have different ways of celebrating the Mass, but the Mass is always the sacrifice of Calvary. It is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary, no matter which rite is used. But what we see in the Vatican II Church is not the sacrifice of the Mass, but we see a commemoration of the Last Supper. So this is not just a difference or variation of the sacrifice, but this is something new, and I maintain it is principally Protestant, Jewish, Protestant, however you want to look at it, but it is no longer the Catholic Church, it is no longer the sacrifice of the Mass, so it is a new religion, and of course there's nothing new under the sun, so it's, I think, perhaps a better name would be that it would be the culmination of the different errors throughout history, which I think one of the popes labeled that as modernism, which is this culmination of all the various heresies. So anything that was condemned in the past, it seems to be revitalized and brought up anew and again in this new church, this new religion. And so when we speak of the Catholic Church, we're speaking of the same faith that existed from the beginning up until, you might say, the false council of Vatican II. And then since that time, it has been just a remnant that has held on to the faith. Do we have any questions or comments? No? Everything is straightforward, I guess. Okay. All right, then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.